97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're glad that you're with us this morning on a Thursday. I've been saying all morning, Kim, 12 days out to the election. It's 10. I did the math.
Math is hard.
Didn't go to to engineering school. I went to broadcasting school. Actually, journalism school. But still, we didn't have to take a lot of math. I apologize. 10 days till election day. It's a big deal. So we thought to kick things off right, and in honor of my daughter's birthday today, I would let you hear her recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And again, bear in mind, she was very young when she did this.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
Aw, thank you.
So cute.
Thank you, Ginger. She was just a couple years old when she did that, and today she is 17 years old. So happy birthday to my baby, who's on her way to school this morning, where she gets to spend, the next 12 hours or so.
Lovely. Just the way she wanted to spend her birthday.
I know. I think she's taken the ACT pretest or something.
That sounds terrible.
I don't know. It sounds awful, doesn't it? So glad I don't have to do that. And I get to do this instead, which is great. Coming up, we got Shannon Bree from Fox News Sunday. Griff Jenkins is going to join us. And our friend Brian Westbrook from Coalition Life has an event coming up where you can learn more details on Amendment 3. So we'll have details on that about 8:45 or so this morning. Right now, though, I want to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Attack him. Defame him. Indict him. Arrest him. Let him get shot in the face. And he's going to win anyway.
Tucker Carlson on fire, you might say, yesterday at that Turning Point USA event. He spoke just before President Trump.
We have cut the flow of immigration by over half. In fact, the numbers I saw most recently, illegal immigration.
But if
is
it was
low,
that easy on, with that finish, executive action, why not do it in 2022, 2023?
Yeah, good question. Of all people, Anderson Cooper pushing back a little bit on CNN to this constant lie by Harris that, well, they tried to push for comprehensive border control, but it didn't work. Yeah, but you had plenty of time to do the same thing you did 6 months ago, and you didn't do it.
I know of one story that's been pitched to a major newspaper and to me, and for all I know to many others, that I don't believe is true. But if it's true, as I said yesterday, it would end Donald Trump's campaign.
Mark Halperin talking about everybody everywhere pitching stories right now they think might hurt their opponent. And there's also several floating out there about Kamala Harris. I don't know what comes out first. We'll see.
Tonight, we come on the air with an important update about our colleague, reporter Ryan Gamboa. Ryan was struck by a metal fragment while covering a campaign event for Democratic candidate for Senate Lucas Coons.
How about that, Kim? I saw you look at me. I found it. They finally reported on it last night. Still haven't heard from the reporter, even though it was only a flesh wound.
It's like a flesh wound. It's like Dr. Evil.
Tis but a flesh wound.
Monty Python.
Well, I know. Okay. If my husband's listening, he told me that I had to see Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Like, that was a requirement.
That's what it
before
is.
He got married. We got married, rather. I have actually seen it. It's pretty funny.
Tis a bit of flesh wound. And we wouldn't be laughing about it if the guy was seriously injured. Fortunately, he wasn't. He could have been, right? But this Ryan Gamboa, whatever his name is, still hasn't gone on the air and talked about it. My wife and I were talking about this last night. She said maybe it's a workman's comp issue. Maybe he's threatening to sue them. Maybe there must be some reason that they haven't gotten the person who was injured, who happens to be one of their reporters, on the air talking about it yet.
It has to be that. I doubt he's threatening to sue him, because if anything, the guy has had his little 15 minutes of fame. He's everywhere.
I agree with that, but I'm certain he didn't have to sign a release. They showed up at this private farm where they've done some concealed carry shooting in the past and staged this little demonstration with Adam Kinzinger, and there's no way the media that showed up had to sign a release. Somebody is liable potentially for the damage to this guy. I mean, who knows? We don't know anything about him.
Well, I think the next time the Democrats do any stunts like this for publicity, they might need to have all the media sign the release because you don't know if you're going to get hit with a bullet fragment.
Well, listen to the report. I want to play this again for you. KSHB out of Kansas City, it's their reporter. Listen how they're now phrasing it. They're not saying he was shot with a bullet. They're now trying to claim it was a fragment of something, but they don't know for sure if it was the bullet. It might have been a fragment of the actual steel because they were shooting high-velocity rifle rounds at a piece of steel at about 10 or 15 yards. It was stupid. It was the height of stupidity. There's no way there was an NRA guy on site, but that's what Lucas Kuntz claims. Listen to this short report by them.
Tonight, we come on the air with an important update about our colleague, reporter Ryan Gamboa. Ryan was struck by a metal fragment while covering a campaign event for Democratic candidate for Senate Lucas Kuntz. Ryan went to a hospital after the incident, saying his injuries were minor and has been released. It's unclear if what struck him in the arm was by a bullet ricochet or another type of metal fragment. The event was at a private residence in Holt, Missouri. Kuntz was firing an AR-15-style weapon at the time Ryan was struck, and was among those who came to his aid.
Yeah. We caught up with Lucas Kuntz at an event in Kansas City this afternoon, is what she goes on to say. Here's Lucas Kuntz talking about what happened at that shooting range. Listen.
We had earplugs. We had eye protection. We had an NRA-certified trainer there. And it's a range that they've used several times. He's done concealed and carry classes there. And, with anything happening to do with firearms, it's an inherently dangerous, tool. And so you have to put in as many safety precautions as you can. And then you have to have precautions for anything happens. And so first aid kits, things like that. And, a little piece of frag bounce back and nick somebody's arm. And we were able to treat it.
Yeah, what if it would have gone into his face and bulged his eye or something?
He had protective eyewear on, but nothing covering his head or the rest of his body. Had the frag hit him in the head, it could have killed him.
Right.
If the frag had hit that can of Tannerite sitting there, it could have killed several of them.
I'm confused. Was this at a private residence or was this at a shooting range?
It was a shooting range. It was something set up as a shooting range at a private residence. It was not a publicly accessible shooting range.
Got it. Okay.
And what happened there is incredibly stupid. And the fact that he was able to get away with that kind of an excuse shows you that this guy is not ready for prime time. That backfired big time, and they want to act like nothing to see here. Coming up, we're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. I'll ask her about Kamala Harris's latest word salad dinner on CNN last night. We'll be right back.
You've quoted General Milley calling Donald Trump a fascist. You yourself have not used that word to describe him. Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I also believe that the people who know him best on this subject should be trusted.
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Shannon, welcome to the show. How are you?
Mark, great to be with you today. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I had to play that bite last night because it seems to be 10 days out, the closing argument for Kamala Harris. Threat, threat, threat. Every time she gets on stage, she uses that line against Donald Trump.
And you know what? It may be her most effective closing argument. She's been pressed again and again on policy by now a number of different interviewers, and folks don't think that they've gotten much out of her. I mean, one week she says, there's nothing I would do policy-wise different than the decisions made by the Biden administration. In another interview, she'll say, well, I'm a different person. I have different experiences. I've got different ideas. Okay, great. Well, what are they? Because the American people would love to hear them. But there's a constant pivot back to President Trump, that he's a threat. And as much as people will tell us that they hate negative ads and negative advertising, negative campaigning, it does move the needle. It works.
Yeah.
My background is in TV reporting, and I know there's a lot of factors that go into interviews, especially when they're live. But watching the interviews with Kamala Harris, Hallie Jackson, Anderson Cooper, she's so good at dodging all of these questions. Mm-hmm. Well, I say good, but that's what she does. I almost wish one of these reporters or anchors would just sit there and say yes or no. And she gives her word salad, no, yes or no, and would not let her get away with that.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, you know, negotiating these kinds of interviews, especially at that level, it's always tricky. Now, I don't think any of these journalists, like we wouldn't, you're not going to turn over questions, that kind of thing, but you're going to have very time-tight restrictions. There's going to be a real window for you to get things done, and it almost feels like if you can get to more than one subject and get an answer, that would be like winning the lottery, hitting the jackpot. Because if you stay on one topic, say you pick the border like Brett started out with, you're going to spend so much time and effort trying to pin down that yes or no answer, and you may never get it, and you may never get to another topic like the economy, like education, or anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wondered about the town hall that she held with Maria Shriver the other day and Liz Cheney. Mm-hmm. They basically admitted in advance that they would only be taking predetermined questions.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do a town hall like that?
I wouldn't. I mean, it's one thing if you say, we're opening this up to the community, we want to hear from them, there's got to be some room for you as a moderator to have your own follow-up questions, your own things that you're going to interject in there. If it's about a town hall, you do want to make it about the people who are going to show up. And listen, you do screen people, because we've all had situations where you put together a town hall and somebody shows up and they're maybe not who they told you they were during the screening process. So you do have to work on, you know, looking at what topics they're going to ask about, that kind of thing. But I'd always want the freedom as a moderator to go where I want to go in addition to whatever you're going to get from the everyday Americans who are there, and their questions are the most important thing.
Yeah. Shannon Bream, our guest, host of Fox News Sunday. It's October. Everybody's waiting for some October surprise. I heard Mark Halperin yesterday discussing Trump stories that have been pitched to him and Kamala Harris stories that have been pitched to him. The only person I've seen report any of that was The Guardian about Donald Trump, some 30-year-old claim by some model mm-hmm. that he had groped her or something like that. They're the only ones that reported it. Do you think something big is coming out between now and November 5th?
Listen, ABO research always builds up. And you want to drop something in October if you have it. But the fact is, the calendar is so different now. I mean, people have been voting by the millions for weeks now. So I don't know if the October surprise has the same power that it once did. And listen, if what this woman alleges is true, it's terrible. Nobody would approve of that behavior. But at the same time, I think that people who are supportive of President Trump, a couple of things, either they've heard these kinds of allegations before, so it's sort of baked in for them, whether it's a deal breaker or not, or they, if they're already supportive of him, are very much going to question the timing of it.
Right.
So I don't know that he gets legs on either of those, you know, tracks.
Are you getting those kind of pitches in your inbox right now, Shannon?
I have not. You know what I'm getting pitches about is Tim Walz. And so, you know, just like with any of these candidates, when we get things, there's a rigorous process that goes into trying to track down original sources for this stuff. And sometimes people feed you things and you find out like, well, they saw it on Facebook. Well, clearly we're going to need more than that. So the pitches I've been getting are about Tim Walz, and maybe it's because we've hosted him twice on Fox News Sunday, but we're trying to track those down.
Yeah, well, you've got two Sundays left. Do you mm-hmm. think you're going to get any of these, either the candidates before then?
I mean, we're always in negotiation,
right,
and always the door is open. They tend to offer us, you know, very high-profile surrogates and that kind of thing. But we'll see. We're working hard these last couple of weeks to get names and faces that are as close to the top of the ticket as possible.
Well, I appreciate your coverage of all those issues, particularly what's going on in the Middle East. And, you know, I heard Kamala ask yesterday about whether she thought Donald Trump was anti-Semitic, and I mean, it was an odd answer that she gave, of course, but I love the fact that you're covering that for the serious issue that it is.
Mm-hmm.
That is the war in the Middle East, right?
Absolutely. And Marco Rubio, who is the ranking Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee, is going to be with us this week to talk about all of that, but also in the context of these leaked Israeli plans with regard to Iran. How in the world did that happen? And listen, we know there's tension between Biden and Bibi. That has been a very tough relationship since October 7th and really predating that. But if they're our ally and if we have their back, and we say that repeatedly in every single way, I think people want to know and track down how in the world that information would have possibly come potentially from a U.S. source.
Shannon Bream will be watching on Sunday. Thank you.
See you then. Thanks,
guys. All right, thanks. We also, of course, carry Fox News Sunday at 4 p.m. on Sundays here on 97.1 FM Talk. All right, back in a minute with our buddy Griff Jenkins, and we're going to get Brian Westbrook on here as well, talking about an upcoming event to learn more on Amendment 3.
Is that Biden Harris administration has done something 2 weeks ago that has never been done in American history, which is to send exactly lethal force, to send a directive to the Pentagon, changing the law to make it legal for the U.S. military to be used to use lethal force against American citizens on American soil.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, Griff. Boy, RFK knows how to shake things up, doesn't he?
Well, he does. And, you know, I just want to thank you, Mark. And, Kim, I don't blame you. I blame directly Mark for absolutely ruining my Thursday, because I just found out yesterday that my assignment on election night, going no doubt into the day after wee hours of the evening, will be on protest duty in Washington, D.C., where we've erected fences around the White House, and the guard around the Capitol is already up, as people have been, you know, aware of. And now RFK Jr. is talking about these rumors circulating about this DOD directive that, you know, documents procedures when there's potential use of legal force against Americans. And there's nothing to suggest they're real. It's all speculation, except for you do make the guy who's going to be on protest duty overnight a little nervous.
Yeah, no
talking
kidding.
Talking about these things.
Wow, yeah.
Listen,
that's.
But I'll say this.
Yeah.
Is I will continue to honor my job and duty. I will still report for duty. The only assignment I don't want is to be sent to a shooting range target practice photo op with Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah, no That's, kidding.
That one's a no-go zone.
Or Lucas Kuntz, who's running against Hawley out here. That's a story that, I mean, I heard Waters talking about it last night. Of course, we covered it all day yesterday. This is odd for me. Now, you tell me why you think this. I'd love your speculation on this, Griff. The reporter who got shot works at a Kansas City TV station. They finally reported last night, so a day after the incident happened, that he's fine. He was treated at the hospital and released. Nobody has yet heard from that reporter. Now, when I was in local television news for 25 years, if you could ever promote a story that your station was the only one who could possibly get it, they would have put that guy on. They would have put me on the set at 10 o'clock that night to talk about the wound in my arm from a horrible staged event by a political candidate. Nobody's heard from this kid yet. I can't envision what's going on out there in Kansas City in the news management division at KSHB in Kansas City.
What a great question. Yeah. And it is anybody's guess at this point. I mean, maybe he was traumatized by the event, and you know, they tried to get him to go full out there and said that he needed to not to, but he didn't appear to be traumatized.
No.
He's smiling as Kuntz is treating him, and I thought, you know, it's interesting, you know, in sort of reading about the story yesterday, there's one of the things I really would have liked to have asked the reporter if I could interview him, is Kuntz talked about, you know, we take great precaution in a situation like that, because obviously you're using AR-15s, which are dangerous guns. But what was what kind of protection did the reporter standing a foot behind the guy have? What was the actual protection situation, and what were they doing? As several you know, former military and law enforcement critics were pointing out, they're shooting AR-15s 15 meters from a steel plate, which
yes.
was likely to have ricochet you know, dangers in the like, you know, in a scenario like that. And really only with hearing from the specific reporter, could you put into perspective exactly what did it feel like? How far away were you? What, you know, was there other things that you know, stood out as maybe being skipped safety precautions? Because, look, you can go and go to a shooting range for an hour and spend $100 and fire anything you want. But, you know, all the ones I've ever been to have extreme security precautions taken. And so I'm just curious, you know, obviously the guy got hit. And Koontz played it off as like, you know, he got a little frag.
Nothing.
It's like, wait a minute, that's not a little deal.
Well, imagine if, you know, I actually went to an event like that with Don Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle when they were here campaigning for Eric Greitens when he ran for Senate last time in the primary. It was out at a private club here in St. Louis, but it was an actual shooting range. And, you know, you had a 100-yard, 50 or 100-yard range, and they weren't shooting at steel targets, and it was mostly handguns. And, I mean, it was just, I've been to something like that. This was in somebody's backyard, clearly, and it's crazy to me. If a Trump had been involved in this in some capacity, can you imagine the national news coverage this would have received? And so far, other than a mention on Fox News and a few national websites, it's kind of died down, I think.
Yeah, it did. I mean, in the broader sort of picture here, whether it's Governor Walz not being able to load a shotgun and not firing it at a staged pheasant hunt, or now this, Democrats may just want to let the gun thing go. Like, forget, like, it's not working. Go with something else. Do something. Go to the border, even.
Yeah, just, seriously.
Leave the gun thing alone. And, you know, I don't know what impact it's going to have on that race, and I haven't followed that race terribly close, but you've certainly seen Josh Hawley not missing any opportunities to highlight it and hit him on it.
Yeah, I did retweet the latest Babylon Bee story earlier that said, Dick Cheney excitedly joins Democrat Party after hearing they get to shoot people at gun ranges.
I saw that.
Man, that was something. And, you know, to your point, I mean, I remember that vividly. And it was days upon days we talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in fairness, it was a significantly more serious injury to his buddy. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, the fact that this didn't get as much attention as it probably should have gotten is really quite notable. And I hope we do hear from that reporter eventually.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Well, I tell you what, Griff, we appreciate your time, my friend, and we'll know who to go to the morning after the election. If there's any problems, we're just going to call you.
I may still be out in the streets. Please do so. You guys have a great one.
We will, buddy. Thank you. Griff Jenkins, Fox News there. Always great to get him on. And, yeah, he's drawn the protest straw the night after the election.
That's a short straw right there.
I'm telling you,
man. You don't
want
to do that.
Woo! Hopefully they've got a bulletproof vest for him, for sure. I hope that doesn't come to that. Seriously. Coming up, Brian Westbrook is going to join us. If you listened to the debate the other day between he and Jeff Smith on Amendment 3, you know he's with Coalition Life, and he's got an event coming up where you can learn more about Amendment 3. We'll get to that coming up. All right, welcome back. You know, I think it's worth pointing out, Kim, because we did get some good news today about the lines out in St. Charles County. Who told you that they showed up at 4 in the afternoon and only had about a 30-minute wait?
Sherry from my Bible study.
Okay. All right. So she said once she got through the traffic on 79 up there in St. Charles County to the election headquarters, once she got maneuvered through the traffic to get to the actual location, it only took her about 30 minutes to vote.
Yeah, done in 20 minutes, but she said the worst part was just getting up there, and that's specifically because of the construction.
All right. So obviously you've got my voter guide you can print out, and that will help you with a lot of these amendments, including Amendment 3, which, of course, we are a no on. And if you listen to the debate earlier this week, you know that the guy on there who sided with us on the whole thing was, of course, Brian Westbrook from Coalition Life. I've got him on the phone this morning. Brian, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good morning.
Yeah, good to have you on. You know, I know you've got an event, I believe, coming up this evening. Is Governor Parson part of that?
Yes, yes. So it's A3Action.com. Governor Parson will be on at 7 o'clock p.m. along with a lot of incredible special guests this evening. And we're talking about Amendment 3 and what's actually inside of that language.
Well, I mean, it is important that people understand it. We've talked about it so much, and there's so much of it that is, it's intentionally distracting. The language on it is designed to hide what this thing really does. Hit a few of those things for me. So when people, either are going to the ballot box today or getting ready to go vote, they know what Amendment 3 is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be talking about it tonight at A3Action.com. One of those things is in paragraph 3, any denial, interference, delay, or restriction on the right to reproductive freedom shall be presumed invalid. And they define reproductive freedom as all reproductive health. And that really means the General Assembly cannot pass any laws that would help protect women, children, even men, who would go in for any kind of reproductive health, everything from your normal OBGYN all the way up through hysterectomies, childbirths, C-sections, which is all of these things are heavily regulated. They have lots of laws around them. And so they can't pass any laws regarding that because of this sentence. And the only thing that they can do is pass a law that doesn't infringe on your, quote, autonomous decision making. And that seems like every single law on the books violates my autonomous decision making.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I hope people are paying attention. It is A3Action.com. It gets underway tonight at 7 p.m. Do people have to take any action once they get there, or will they just start watching the broadcast?
Yeah, A3Action. You just type your name in there. You click go. And then you'll get on the broadcast with Governor Parson, Melissa Odin, who's a abortion survivor, Dr. Carolyn Tucker, who has 35 years of reproductive health care experience. So, I mean, we've got a lot going on, a huge line of speakers at A3Action.com. And we don't want our rights taken away, and we certainly don't want our parental rights taken away. And we don't want our children going through these sex change operations without our knowledge or consent, especially not with our tax dollars.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I hope you get a good turnout tonight. A3Action.com is the website. Brian Westbrook, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, keep up the good fight, my friend. We appreciate that. Anything you can do to educate people on what a bad idea this is. I have heard some no on three ads running, and I was encouraged by that.
I've seen more signs. I just wonder how many people who signed the initiative petition to get it on the ballot in the first place, how many of them actually read the text that's going to potentially be in our Constitution?
None. I can answer that one for you, for sure. All right, we're done. Brian Kilmeade's coming in here in a few minutes. Annie and Mark will be in later today, and we'll see you back here Friday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great Thursday.
Get more at 971talk.com.